Well, today's children's blessing is also our Advent meditation. This Sunday, we're going to light the candle that represents joy. And we'll also read a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, that passage reminds me of something that we learn about in one of the Gospels. So to imagine it, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. We're going to have our own little flannel graph on the inside of our eyeballs, because it's not a part of Jesus' life that we usually think of as a story. So let's close our eyes and let's imagine. Now, in fact, it is a part of Jesus' story, but it's a part of his story that goes back a long time before the first Christmas. Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, before even King David was born there, in fact, before Moses, before Abraham, before Noah, even before Adam and Eve, before the earth or the moon or the sun and stars were even made. Here we are, outside of time, outside of place, in what the Bible just calls the beginning. In the beginning, God. That's how the whole Bible starts. In the beginning, God. John starts the story of Jesus right here, in his eternal life. He says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Beyond time, beyond place, far beyond the limits of our minds, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Trinity, three in one and one in three. The true truth, the really real, the great I am. And the Son, before he is named Jesus, lives in perfect joy with the Father and the Spirit. And he is God, just as they are God. He is one, and they are one. And they live and laugh and dance in perfect love, perfect harmony, perfectly joyful, perfectly satisfied, perfectly together, without needs, completely fulfilled. Like a fountain, cheerful and bright, continually flowing in and out of itself. And yet, in perfect eternity, God decides to make, to create something that is not God. Why does he do this? Well, people have been asking this question forever. Basically, we don't know. In fact, we can't know. We're not capable of knowing. But one of my favorite thoughts about that question is this, written by an old preacher named Jonathan Edwards. He said, "A fountain is not deficient if it is inclined to overflow." In other words, overflowing is just something that fountains do, and creating is one of the things that God does. Overflowing is one of the things that makes fountains good, and creating is one of the things that makes God good. The Bible says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, and so, as God said, "Let there be light," the Word, the Son, Jesus, created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. But we have to back up for a moment. The night before he was crucified, Jesus prayed to the Father, remembering, as he said, the glory he had with him before the world existed. And his disciple Peter heard that prayer, and he wrote later on of the precious blood of Christ who was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And Paul also wrote that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to give us redemption through his blood. So in his perfect eternal happiness, the Son planned not only our creation, but anticipated, saw our fall, and the rescue mission that he would take on to save us. And so, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And yet, we all know what happened. And he knew what would happen and what he would have to do about it. Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The word that spoke the universe into existence became a helpless baby, utterly dependent, a human boy who got hurt just like we do, who was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross, a torture device reserved for criminals and traitors, a symbol of shame. But Jesus, seeing all this coming from eternity past, and not only that, planning it, told his enemies during his lifetime on earth, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." And in the passage from Paul that we're going to read in just a second, he confirms it. The Son, filled with joy, obeys and lowers himself of his own accord through the mysterious working of the Spirit. The Father, filled with joy, raises him up to the highest place, giving him the name that is above every name. Now, in that same prayer we talked about on the night before he was crucified, Jesus calls this lowering and raising up glory. Paul tells his Philippian friends that to make his joy complete, all they must do is to take on that same mind, that same love, that same attitude that they see in Jesus. So we too, in receiving the mind of the joyful servant, will fill one another and be filled ourselves with servant joy. If your eyes are still closed, you can open them now. And I'm going to light the third Advent candle, the candle that represents joy, the joy of Christ. And then I'm going to read our passage from Philippians chapter 2. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's sing our doxology blessing together. Here's our starting note. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's sing together some more.